welcome to the Daft Runners podcast. It's presented here by me, Alex, and also Jamie, live from Essex.
Hey, guys.
So normally we invite people on our Daft Running adventures. This is currently episode 28, and we are not having any real Daft Running adventures, primarily because we're on lockdown and all running events have been cancelled, as well as any other events we'd care to do, and the pub, and lots of other things. But what that is enabling us to do is actually worry about key essential items during these times, such as spin bikes, shoes, and watches that every runner needs. Well, you don't really need a spin bike if you're a runner, but if you're a Daft runner, then I'm getting a spin bike, all right? Live with it.
I mean, spinning's been pretty good for my running. I got a bit quicker after doing some spinning, lost a bit of weight, so I'm a big fan of spinning.
Yeah, exactly. And it's better than a treadmill. I mean, who the hell likes running on a treadmill?
Nobody likes running.
Damn right.
Really?
But anyway, we can get to the training portion later, or maybe another episode. We can worry about lockdown training, which, or lack of it, in my world. Let's get on with the shopping experience. You've been spending a lot of time recently, Jamie, looking at getting a new replacement Garmin. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm sure this is the same for everybody when they're buying a bit of kit. That it's a kind of rabbit hole of misinformation and marketing. You stumble down. So I took a plunge, an icy plunge into the world of GPS running watches. So it took me a few days looking at kind of specs and kind of Googling various stuff and then listening to other people's YouTube videos. And I mean, there's quite a lot of information out there. And I think maybe it's worth like talking about what our experience has been with running watches so far.
Yeah,
maybe
it's our history in watches.
Yeah, our romantic history of watches. I didn't used to really worry about running watches. Like I had like a Casio kind of basic watch in essence, you didn't even measure the hours. Like once you got to the 1 hour point, it's like it just started again. So, I mean, that just kind of give me a general sense. I often forget exactly which hour I was on, especially back in the day when I wasn't very good at running.
Did it just loop back? It's like, it's still going. I must be doing a long distance.
Yeah, indeed. So it was a slightly hallucinogenic way, but so. So the thing is, just kind of the thought is, you just do the work. Don't worry about the times; they'll look after themselves. Just go out and go run. You know, that seems quite work quite well. I'm not sure if that's the same for you, Alex, because you took the same approach, I think, from memory. But you were really quick, weren't you?
Yeah, I didn't even have a Casio watch. I just used to run, and then then the run ended, and that was it.
I remember when we did the Silverstone half marathon years ago, and you pulled out like a. It's ridiculous time, didn't you? Didn't have a watch. I think that was so hot, wasn't it? People collapsing the course, all over the course.
I don't recall my time on that, but I remember it being absolutely horrendous. We've probably talked about it in one of our roundups in the past. But it was just so hot. And the heat coming up from that was just being reflected off the tarmac. And there was no cover or anything. You're just running. And it's literally... you've got nothing to do apart from get the hell out of the situation.
Yeah,
so that's probably why I pulled out a quick time. no watch, no idea what my cadence was or anything. I don't even recall what shoes I was wearing, if I was wearing shoes. I was certainly wearing shoes.
Yeah, you haven't got into your barefoot running that point in time either.
No, definitely not.
It's basically, that's it. It's just get around quick and get it done.
Definitely.
But I had as I kind of did more running, I kind of had a little dabble with heart rate training. Liked the sound of that. Got a strap. Didn't like the strap. Stopped doing heart rate training.
But literally, just didn't like the way it felt on your chest.
Yeah. I did not like it. It's still the most accurate way of measuring your heart rate. I think there's an armbands now, which are pretty accurate as well. But just didn't like it. Didn't get on with it.
No, fair enough.
Sorry,
I think I've only ever tried them once, and then I was like, I tried it one session. It was just a pain in the ass to keep finding and putting it on.
Yeah.
That said, I've been considering like faffing around with some training stuff, not because actually I'm just looking at technology really stuff to add. But I mean, let's avoid that digression for now. But yeah, definitely. But I'm not sure what I'd do with it. It just there's a lot of new ones that do funky things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a bit I've been looking at, like Garmin do this running pod, so we can talk about that in a bit. But I mean, I have thought about getting back into it again because I know David Goggins, you know, and the various other people really depend on heart rate training.
Yeah,
I think it
totally.
makes sense, makes scientific sense, isn't it? But I mean, I'd have to run even slower to do my recovery in long runs, which I'm not quite sure you're prepared for.
So, how if we're just doing 20 miles, how has this taken us 16 hours?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but my heart rate's staying in the right level. maybe it needs to work a little bit harder.
I mean, I'm currently training right now. I'm just sat still, but my heart rate's in the right zone.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be a good thing, right?
I'm just slightly nervous. But I did a fair amount of swimming as well. Like I did a couple of attempts at a relay swim across the channel with some friends, and I got a watch to help me do some swim tracking. But I mean, doing pool swimming with it, it didn't ever seem to count laps properly. So I mean, I kind of previously to getting like my current watch, which is a Garmin Forerunner 35, I hadn't had a great experience with watches in general.
So what was the watch you got that had the swim track in it? So it wasn't your Casio, presumably.
No, it wasn't. I think it was it's an early Garmin swim model. I have to get up, but yeah, it did. Yeah, it was good. It kind of your stroke rates, all that kind of information. That's okay, kind of cool. Useful. But I mean, just the main thing for me at that point in time, because you do so many laps, is just count the laps, and it always. But I think that's a common problem with most watches, especially if you don't kick off properly. And I never used to kick off properly because I kind of thought it was cheating. So if you do a third of the pull of a 20-meter pull. And a third of it is you kicking off the side. It just seems a bit of a waste. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there was a problem with, well, especially when you're training in gym pools in London, which are between 12 and 18 meters, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you kick off in a 12 meter pool, then you're basically coast and then you have to turn around and kick again.
Yeah, exactly.
Very little swim training going on.
Actually, especially I'll be racing against other swimmers, and then we'd be pretty similar pace, so I'd be slightly quicker. Yeah, it's a lot of people were much quicker than I was. Yeah, I was never a really quick swimmer, but a lot of people would be slower than me. But then they'd make up the ground on the pool or on the kickoff, sorry, and that was always really irritating because it's like they're not doing it properly. But they probably are doing it properly in terms of their form. But I'm not bitter, really.
Not today.
Not today, yeah. So I got a Forerunner 35. It's kind of basic entry level watch for an ex Christmas present, I think, a couple of years ago. And I've really enjoyed having it. It's kind of really good. The Garmin Connect app has been great. Lots of kind of interesting data. Really useful for interval stuff because you can measure your pace. Before, I just kind of ran as quickly as I could. Now I can know how quickly I'm running, kind of.
And you get badges.
And you get badges, yes. And you can make friends online. And I realize I have no friends anyway. Online friends, especially.
I think we have each other listed as our Garmin.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I think we should probably do that a bit more, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
But I don't know. How about you? So what was your? So I can talk about what the more shopping. But what's your history? Because you've got a checkered past with watches as well, haven't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess my first workout watch was I did get a Casio as well, slightly more advanced than your one. Although I don't recall ever using it for running. I'm not even sure why I had it, to be honest. I think literally it may have been to do something like telling the time.
I love those watches. Like just like, those Casio watches, I love them. I got like 3 or 4 lying around. So I'd lose one and I'd get one for £8 or something. And then I'd, yeah.
But it was a sports model, so it had like a few more funky buttons. But I never used any of that, I don't think. Maybe I put a timer on my workout one time. But... What's the point? It doesn't measure anything.
We should have got the one with the calculator on it. Do you remember? We could have calculated our minutes per kilometre.
Exactly. As you're running them. If I keep going at this speed. There we go. But no, I believe that watch met a terrible end when I was doing some kettlebell cleans and forgot to... Because normally when I use kettlebells, I used to rotate the wrist so the watch face was... facing me, so when you flick the kettlebell around, it hits your wrist and just the watch strap. However, one fateful day, I forgot to actually twist my watch around. Kettlebell clean, smash.
Oh,
so that was the end of that watch.
Well, it valiantly defended your wrist from the sounds of it.
Exactly. So. Yeah, totally. and then that comment, years passed, and then I got the Apple Watch, which had like it was the second generation, I think, of the Apple Watches. I remember picking it up at one point. I think I had to work, just it was around my birthday, I think. I had to work through, and I was just kind of a bit pissed off. I met somebody by Covent Garden, which has that Apple store in it. And I just went in, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna buy something. And picked up the Apple Watch too. At the time, obviously, I had a significant amount of expendable income, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Were those days.
that income didn't go on socializing and beer, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't spending enough on beer. So I picked up one of those kind of on a whim, but had loads of, and one of the reasons I had a bit of an interest in the Series 2 over the original watch was at least had GPS on it, because it was the first watch I don't think it had GPS on the Apple Watch, those. And it's like, well, what's the point in having a watch that has tracks workout and steps and all the rest of it, and you're going to pay Apple price for it, and it doesn't have GPS on it? Like, I mean, if you looked at I had Fitbits. I had various Fitbits, not because I went out and kept purchasing them, but because I purchased one Fitbit, or perhaps, I think I actually got it as a birthday present, and it just died. So I had to send that back in as a return. They sent me a new one. That one also died. I forget exactly which ways they went. Either the little screen on them went, or something like that. So that tracks steps and stuff, and it's kind of fun to have on there. Like, oh, I did 8,000 steps today. Yay! I should have done 10. Oh, well. So I went through a bunch of those and just eventually just gave up on it because I was bored of returning them. So I never even look at a Fitbit brand anymore because it's like, well, the build quality is obviously shocking.
Yeah, so they have released a watch recently, the Fitbit Ionic, which is one of their first ones with the more matching up to more what Garmin's are doing. But apparently it's missing a lot of features relative to our similar watches. So, I mean, it's still a work in progress, I guess.
Yeah, so I kind of looked at the Apple Watch as a really expensive Fitbit with a touchscreen. And what was the point? But then the new one came out with GPS. So, oh, well, maybe I can use it to track some running thing and be a bit more useful. So that's why I was a bit more piqued interest on getting the Series 2 Apple Watch. It does have some really good features in terms of heart rate tracking and the GPS thing. But it was just completely erratic in terms of what data you get back. So I think the highlight of this was actually on the Isle of Arran last year.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at words.
No, you get it pretty close. Pretty close. I mean, almost like a local.
Oh, yes, those days there. But I think by the second day, the numbers it was giving us were absolute nonsense. I think actually you had your forerunner 35 that had run out of battery at that point. So we were left with just my watch to give us like an idea of how long it was or how long we've been running. Because we were kind of guesstimating checkpoints. And then at one point it was like, according to my watch, we've got another, we've just been running possibly for the last 2 hours. Not actually, we were actually running.
Yeah.
And it was only supposed to be like, I think 10 miles or something between the checkpoints. I mean, it was day two, so our legs were pretty tired. We'd done 30 miles the previous day, so we weren't gunning it. It was like, well, we should be kind of close to the checkpoint, right? And I looked at my watch, it was like, well, according to the watch, we got at least another 5 kilometers, which I told to another couple of runners who ran past, and they were like, no way.
At that point in time, it was a little bit heart-destroying, isn't it? Where you think, oh, that must be close. I think it's the signage for some races sometimes is a little bit out. You know, fair play to these companies. They're running some really cool events. Sometimes the signage is out. And so I don't necessarily trust it when I see. And I've been seeing these kilometer signs, but then to hear, oh, actually, we've got 5 kilometers left. It's a little bit soul-destroying.
Exactly that. Yeah. And then around the corner, we literally ran maybe about I don't know, 500 meters or so. And then there was a checkpoint. Like, this watch has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. As a side point, Red Bull were also sponsoring this event, and they were dishing out, I think it was Diet Red Bull cans.
All right, yeah.
You might remember.
I vaguely recall totally walking past it. Like, there's no way in hell I want a Red Bull right now.
Yeah. Well, I'd have grabbed a Red Bull, but not a diet one. Like, I've got calories in it, do you mean?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So, what's the point in giving up a diet drink on an endurance event? This drink will give you no energy. Well, you know what I need right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want an extremely metallic, dodgy taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And no energy. sorry. Yes, yeah, so I digressed from your story. Yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the main point of it, really. I mean, that was the end of that watch where I thought, well, actually, probably should get a proper watch. You were running 60 milers.
Yeah.
And probably a good idea to know how far you're running. But yeah, so one fun thing with it though was being able to take a phone call on it, which I remember doing one year of one of the Man versus Mountain events at Snowdon.
Yeah.
I got a phone call come through on my watch. And she was just like, I remember speaking into my wrist as running down the mountain, going, "Hi, hello, I'm on a mountain." Proper Dom Jolly. That was a lot of fun.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Trigger. Was it? Oh, I can't remember the TV show.
Trigger Happy TV. Was that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It reminds me of another story as well. The Apple Watch. So there's a couple of strands here which are interesting. Which is it's obviously kind of accuracy of data.
Yeah.
Usability of the screen, other functions like can't answer phone calls. And also, there's one thing I remember you telling me about was one race we did was. I think it started off quite stormy, but we were waiting to start because the tide had to go in.
And yeah.
Didn't the watch kind of, because it's a touchscreen.
Yeah, exactly.
Your jacket do
something. That is the biggest downfall of it. I mean, touchscreens on fitness devices are a complete waste of time. Like, even on gym, like treadmills on the gym, for instance, when I was, when we were allowed to go to a gym. At one point, I was trying to actually do interval training on there. So I do run a mile, rest, do some weights, jump on, do another mile, like 60 seconds later. So just doing miles, mile repeats, basically. And the amount of sweat that comes off when you're proper sprinting on them. And I actually broke the treadmill. So I sweated so much into it. And it was just going crazy. The screen was madly going sides because it's one of those ones where you swipe to the next area. It's like, oh, I want to watch some telly. I just swipe across and pick what channel I want to watch and swipe back. And, oh, I'm just going to tap. Oh, actually, I want to record my weight. And all that fancy stuff that's a complete waste of time. It was just madly going between screens as my sweat was dropping onto the monitor until it completely had a crashed out, basically. And the whole thing seized up and was like, oops, wipe it down. Walk slowly away. Nothing to see here. but on the Apple Watch, like, it was just inoperable when you had like so much sweat on your hands. Like, absolutely inoperable in terms of trying to work out what you're doing or trying to actually do something on the screen. And yeah, you're right. I think it was Man versus Lakes the first time we did it. And the touchscreen could be activated by the material that was on the inside of my waterproof jacket. Because the idea is, I think with touchscreens, it builds a circuit or something when you tap it. So when the wet material touched it, it built the circuit and was registering taps. And I pulled my sleeve back and suddenly it was like the reset mode. And I think it was in Polish.
Brilliant.
It was just like, what the hell?
Right at the start of the race as well.
Right at the start of the race. So it was so couldn't use it during the race because you need your phone with you and you've got to go through the whole pairing operation. But the thing was, because it was in the Lake District, there was no signal anyway. So when we got back to camp, I couldn't even fix it for the second day because I think it was a two-day event, was it? I can't remember. But anyway, when we were back, I couldn't fix it because I couldn't get a signal to pair with Apple HQ or whatever I needed to do in order to register the watch. So I just had a dead weight latched to my arm for the entire weekend.
So that's interesting. Again, there's a few points from there, isn't it? It's like the touchscreens. There's a few touchscreen watches that come out nowadays that are kind of competing with Apple, and kind of I've checked out a few of those as well. But I mean, so just in terms of what you need from a watch, Alex, I guess touchscreen is not a great idea.
Sweat resistance and buttons. Sweat resistant.
Yeah, buttons. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I guess for me, I wanted an altimeter. And there's a few races that we'd had, or a barometer, where we got wildly different results on my watch and your watch, even though they're the same kind of Garmin brand. It's been like a few hundred meters difference sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So both our watches, I think my watch, the Garmin 245, doesn't have a barometer or anything like that in it. So it's very much probably using the same guesstimation as your watch, but it was, sometimes be wildly out. So,
yeah. So, I mean, so that kind of, and I think that's the way to approach it, is what you're thinking exactly what you want on a watch. And because there are so many bells and whistles, there's so much stuff, and these things are so expensive. It's a bit ridiculous, really. I think there's definitely a value for money thing here. But I mean, the if you look at the touchscreen ones, I looked at the Garmin Vivo Active 3 and 4s, and then there's the Garmin Venue, which has just been released. I'm not sure if I'm saying that properly.
Bonvenue.
I mean, they seem like really good watches. I mean, not necessarily focused on running as much. I think they're more kind of competing with the Apple Watch, so less kind of running stuff and more kind of general lifestyle activity tracking. So the Venue, you have things like images of workout kind of types, you know, and also you can have like a Pilates or yoga sessions, register them on your watch. I think apparently the Garmin Vivo Active 4 is exactly the same as the Venue, except so the Venue has got the AMOLED tech screen. So that's the kind of thing that Apple has, a big bright, you know, shiny kind of screen.
Oh, okay.
And I think one of the reasons Garmin's have really veered away from doing these kind of screens because of battery life is a real big issue with that. And,
yeah, definitely.
I think it's the first. Apparently, it's not had too much of an impact on the battery life. But I mean, that's you don't really know unless you test it, do you? So I kind of, for the reason you mentioned, I kind of steered away from touchscreen watches. It just didn't seem appropriate. I think buttons is definitely the way to go, especially the kind of stuff we do. If you're doing your kind of adventure running, you need something which isn't going to be going, you know, speaking in Polish because it's raining a bit. although apparently the Vivo Active 3 apparently had a few troubles with that, the 4 and the Venue apparently a bit better.
Okay.
I also thought barometer, so we mentioned that before. I want something relatively accurate and also kind of weight, because some of the later models are really, you know, chunky. You see these people running along. I think it's the Fenix. They're huge, aren't they? The Fenix watches.
Yeah, exactly. They do take up a significant portion of your arm.
Yeah. I'm not much of a bling person. Again, I'm used to a Casio watch, so kind of definitely like a light imprint.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also I think because we decided we'd do maybe more triathlons, I think I needed something with the kind of swimming attachment. So I ended up going for the Garmin Forerunner 935, which is a few years ago. It was kind of a top triathlon watch. It doesn't really have music or anything, but I thought, you know, just in terms of value for money, yeah, it's coming in about £300 on sale price at the moment. The 945, which is the latest model, is kind of £500-600. It's just too much money, you know, in terms of getting, you know, I just want it to track accurately. I want a barometer. I want to be able to swim. That ticks all the boxes. Just seems
definitely. Yeah, it's about 10 grams heavier. I'm just looking at your chart here, so I've found my watch in your chart, and you know, so it seems to be about 10 grams heavier still.
It's
10 grams doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a quarter of the weight.
Yeah, so my left and my right arms are going to be significantly more toned than yours. 1,000 repetitions of running.
Pick it up. But,
exactly. And that is a good shout, though, isn't it? Like, in terms of, it'd be interesting to see how I get on with it, because I do my current watch is the Forerunner 35 again. That's 37 grams. So again, it is going to be chunk heavier. Again, almost 30%. Is that right, math-wise? Yeah, why not? Sorry. 25%, mate. Movies if you
small.
Want. Yeah.
Small.
But, I mean, these are kind of small margins, but it doesn't matter, doesn't it, for the kind of the ultra-distance stuff we look to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? Are you kind of still happy with your 2.3, your 2.45, or are you going to...
Currently, I mean, I've been kind of... I've seen the Fenixes in action, and those are the ones that are literally double the weight, I think, sometimes. but they are just really expensive in comparison. So I think that's the main issue, is just the expense. Like you said, like I think you mentioned before, is like, well, the number of features you get extra for the money, it just really isn't worth it.
Indeed, yeah.
Like being able to track Pilates is not such a key thing for me.
Okay. I mean, it'd be nice, I guess, but what kind of value is it adding, really? It's just saying that you're doing Pilates.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think the only useful thing you get out of the one thing that's very attractive about it is the maps feature. Because on my 245, yeah, you can get the little arrow showing where you are and your direction, so you can see when you're looking back on yourself, for instance. Whereas the Phoenix ones actually have a full color map underneath them, so you can legitimately see whether you're on the right trail. And zoom out, I think, as well, and see like what's around you and how you're going ahead. So if you're not familiar with the area, it helps. Like, you don't have to get your phone or a map out. But yeah, it's legitimately how much would I use that? Probably not that much.
We did have that race. We did the Rittle. The Rittle, was it the 50K one around Easter to Christmas, all the way around. And it would have been really useful for that. It kind of feels like it would have been cheating a bit, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like exactly. The race is navigating yourself across the countryside, then you've got like a map on your arm.
Yeah, exactly. Just draw it.
Seems a bit cheeky.
A little bit cheeky. But no, I mean, just looking at the criteria, hit swimming, the pool only thing is. I mean, you really wanted one with the open water swimming, did you? Or you just thought that was a good thing to have?
Yeah, because we're doing the triathlons, I thought it'd be useful to have an open water. But I mean, is that going to be useful for when you're swimming necessarily? I kind of did look a little bit into the kind of swimming metrics that you get, and like you get stroke rates and all that kind of stuff, but that's not going to be necessarily useful for when you're in the water. You're not going to be checking your watch, are you?
Yeah, you're just
going to be swimming. So I thought it might be good to do that kind of stuff. But I mean, the pool stuff, I much prefer open water swimming because the pool stuff's a bit miserable, isn't it? Just to find a better way of making things interesting. The two triathlons. Sorry, Alex, go on, crack on.
No, I was going to say I was going to move on to the Ultimate Beast, but do you want to carry on with the triathlon bit?
Yeah, so there's a couple of the Garmin used to have the triathlon watches designated with the XT. So the two available at the moment was the 4Runner 735 XT, and then there was the 935. But they dropped the XT because it's just a generally good watch, not just for triathletes, and they thought it'd scare off runners. But yeah. Which is fair enough. That XT scares me as well. Because the XT just didn't have that altimeter. So that's the thing I just wanted, because it's just really nice to know how far we've gone up, because we quite like the mountain stuff, don't we? Quite like.
Yeah, definitely. It's good.
Despite the fact I live in Essex.
Well, around where I am now, it's no hill to be seen. So it's.
You did look quite sad. On Skype.
Yeah. Just like, there's Miss Hills, man.
Yeah, so I mean that's watches. Like I mean, do you have anything to add, or should we move on to kind of your shopping stuff?
I think we can probably move on to because there's a lot to say about shopping, obviously. we'll hold it here, because I think you made a good choice on the 945 in terms of like the features and not getting it for like the good price. That's saving
935, so I went with 945 pricey.
Sorry, I meant Freudian slip there. I was going to say, the 95, almost £200 cheaper savings, right?
Yeah.
Between 95 and 945. You just find out then whether it's like worth getting the 945 later on. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I expect to keep the watch for a couple of years at least, isn't it? Something you kind of use for a bit, and then you can kind of, I mean, the premium 945, it'll probably come down in price at some point in the next couple of years as you get new watches being released. And maybe I'll have a look at then. But just too expensive now for what we're doing. In essence, all I'm getting is music. And like, I can just stick music on my phone. Not that much of an issue. Yeah.
I'm surprised by the stat you got on here for the 945, where it's 36 hours battery life with GPS.
Yeah,
but then if you put music on, it goes down to 10. So it's like literally taking it's literally 2/3 less.
Yeah, yeah.
By turning some music on, that's just ridiculous. Over 2/3 less.
Yeah, I know. You do check some of the other ones, and I mean, it is a massive drain. But you can mess around with some of the power settings. Some of the more modern watches do seem to have, you know, you can set the GPS to maybe a bit less, you know, kind of frequent. So rather than like every kind of minute or something, you can kind of check in every every so often. So there's different settings that you can have to reduce the battery strain. But okay. I mean, sticking music on for 10 hours, it's probably a bit much for me, but it does really reduce the battery life. But sorry.
The best thing about the Garmin over the Apple Watch was also the bad battery life, actually, just from a forget about the features. Like Apple Watch, even if I did nothing with it, yeah. I used to turn off, like by the end of it, I'd turn off all the notifications and all that kind of stuff because I was just getting pissed off with my watch going off every 2 seconds. But that said, actually, the Garmin has the notification as well, doesn't it? I just turn all that off. But ultimately, I charge my Garmin maybe once a week. My Apple Watch had to be done every day. So it's like legitimately having that much of a drain. Like if you listen to music, 10 hours of music, I mean, that's a couple of hours. But if you break it down to runs, that's about 5 days of long runs or long training sessions.
Yeah, yeah. For most people, that'd be fine, won't it? Like even some of the lower rated watches, you know, you go to the Garmin Runner, Forerunner 645 with music, it's got 14-hour battery life with 5 with music. Even that, you're running a marathon, aren't you?
Exactly.
In 5 hours. I mean, that's more than you need.
Because actually, I remember doing, it wasn't Beachy Head, but it was one of the tougher trail marathons we did. And I think I literally just got the Apple Watch maybe a few months ago. And I was like, oh, great, I'll time myself on this marathon. It's going to be hard. There's going to be lots of interesting data coming out of it. I think it ran out of battery because it was probably about a 6 hour time for that marathon because of just the amount of how brutal it was.
Yeah.
With hills and the rest of it. And the watch, I think, died just shy of the finishing line, I believe. It just about made it, like 6 hours of GPS.
I think you did a pretty good time. You did better my best time for that race. I seem to remember you doing kind of, was it 5:45 or something?
I honestly can't remember, but I mean, either way, the watch didn't cope with it well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Again, just to say, you can go for the Galaxy watches, you know, the Apple watches, and you know, the Garmin Venu, but they're very much focused on display, aren't they? Rather than the meat, kind of doing the running, the long distance running. So it depends. What do you want the watch for? Something fancy or something that can actually help you get around.
I mean, that said, the Galaxy watch does have 23 hours worth of time.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
What made you steer away from the Galaxy Watch? Was it just the touch? Is it a touchscreen again?
I tell you, that's a good shout. I think it is a touchscreen. Yeah, yeah. I think it had the pool swimming. It was a little bit chunkier, so it's coming in about 63 grams. The price point's really attractive, though. So again, if you're looking for, I mean, there's various different ones. You know, they've got, it's not just Galaxy Watch. It's a kind of active range. Yeah. It's kind of various different kind of. Yeah, there's lots of kind of different screens and colors you can get with these watches, but it just it felt like it was a bit more. Yeah, they also do active stuff, but mainly actually it's just kind of fashion watch. You know what I mean?
But I mean, 23 hours. That's, I mean, according to your chart, mine does. My Garmin 245 does 24 hours GPS. Mm. Galaxy Watch doing 23 hours, so it's not that far off.
It's pretty good, yeah. So again, for the price point, that kind of reflective, isn't it? You get. So I think it's general with Samsung and kind of Google stuff is they're competing with Apple, so they have to give better functionality at a cheaper price. But I mean, I'm still clear from it mainly because of the weight and the touchscreen.
No, I think the 935. But I'm just looking at this and what I've talked about. I think made a good choice in the 935. My only reticence with it was because it was the 35 series is old. It's quite old now compared to the 45, which came out last year, a year before. I think the 245 maybe a month after it was released, and that was when they did the whole refresh.
I mean, it's a really good point because I guess the components used and the software, it's all a little bit newer. Everything works a little bit better than 945 relative to 935.
Yeah.
It's just a better experience, kind of quicker, and it's one of those things. But again, is that worth it for the price point?
Still
getting the same functionality. It's just a little bit less. You know,
yeah, definitely
a little bit less new. But okay. That's okay for me.
Awesome. Well, I mean, we can catch up on another podcast about how it's going when you get it eventually. It's about a week delivery in lockdown, isn't it? So
see what happens, and I think it'd be good to have a quick update to see where we are with how the watches are coming on. That'd be a good idea.
Definitely. Okay, let's wrap it up there. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with probably more chat about not running and just buying stuff. other things about maybe we'll have a bit of a chat about what when we actually have an idea about what events are going to actually run, hopefully later this year or in 2021, and I guess we can catch up then. But no, thanks for listening. I mean, if you enjoyed, please let us know. You can check out more at daftrunners.com. You can get in touch with us on any topic about running or just life, because you know lockdown, there's a lot to chat about, isn't there? But yeah, just give us a shout at podcast@daftrunners.com. We're also on Twitter, daftrunners, and YouTube with videos. I still haven't learned how to edit despite being unable to go to the pub. One day, guys. So. Anyway, that's all for now. Thank you very much. Ciao for now.
Ciao.